We begin with comparisons between our Unitarian Universalist principles, which we as UU's covenant, we promise, to affirm and promote, and quotations from Reverend Dr. William Barber's book, The Third Reconstruction.
Our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person.
When oppressed people shrink back, they will always be forgotten and destroyed. Faith-rooted moral descent requires that we always look forward toward the vision of what we know we were made to be.
The fourth principle, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning.
We did not know how much we had in common until we told our stories of struggle to one another. We didn't know our own power. We weren't advocating for left or right, but for all that was good and right.
On Sunday, August 13th, at the rally for Charlottesville at the Ohio State House, there were many speakers on the open mic. Some of you might have been there. Some speakers were wonderful. Some were inspiring, some sad, some angry, and many were unintelligible as they were not speaking into the megaphone. But the most moving to me was a young African-American man named Ben. He introduced himself by saying, and I quote, "I make Columbus coffee. I think that's a pretty important thing. My favorite color is yellow, even though I wear all black. And I think sometimes to myself that these things might make me a person," end quote. He went on to say that many things happening right now make him doubt that others do see him as a person. Then he asked everyone who was not a person of color to sit down on the ground. About 80 to 90% of us sat down. Then he said, and here I'm quoting from him extensively, "There's probably some statistic out there that says a certain percentage of all of us standing here are going to die, probably by police hands or someone else's hands. And that's a weird thing, because your personhood is going to be taken away from you. And I think it's really important for the people who don't have to deal with that to look at these people right now. And this is what it's like walking out every day. You know, you have glimpses in your day when you're like, damn, it might go away right now. And I think that's really sad. And I think to have that in the back of your head is something that everyone should probably have to live with. For you to understand what it's like. That's a tough thing. See, visualizing it right now is making my entire body shake. So generally, I'm much better spoken, but it's kind of disturbing. And so, if I could, on behalf of the people of color standing right now, I'd like to ask you non-people of color something, and I genuinely mean this. We need your help. We can't do it, because if we could, it would have happened a long time ago. Please, will you help us? I'm asking you as a real person politely. Help. Help me. Help you. Help. We need it. We need you guys. We need you to do it. Because it would have been done by us already. Damn, you know that. I think it would be easier if everyone just looked around and saw what it was like. We really don't make up too much of y'all, you know. Let us live." That's the end of his quote. His simple plea really got to me. He reinforced to me why I need to be committed to this work of justice and unity for all, for him, for everyone in our city, state, country, and the world at this time in our history. But I'm full of my own doubts. Who am I to do this? How can I help? I grew up in a completely white community. Through high school, I had no classmates or friends or teachers of another race or culture. The year I graduated from high school, the first African American family moved into our suburb, and I made my first black friend. He was a year younger than I was. His family was welcomed into the community by a brick through the picture window and by nasty phone threats, death threats. We, his new friends, deplored these things, but at the ages of 17 and 18, we had no idea how to respond to these horrible acts. Over the years, I've made friends with many people of other cultures and ethnicities. We've worked together, we've made art together, we've taught together, hung out, partied, done spiritual work together. We've visited each other's homes, traveled together, meditated together. And for most of my life, I saw myself as colorblind, and I was proud of that. I was very naive. As a UU, I've tried to live up to our principles, but how exactly do I live these principles in relation to racial justice? As a longtime teacher, retired teacher, I've had African American students, and some of them have shared how they've been stopped by police while driving while black, or being questioned for walking with a group of friends. At the time, and this was about 20 years ago, 15 years ago, these seemed like rare, random incidents, terrible, unfair incidents. But it didn't occur to me that it had probably happened to a lot of my other students who didn't share with me. I loved my students, most of them. And I certainly loved my friends of color, but honestly, I didn't realize the magnitude of their fears, the indignities and injustices they have experienced throughout their everyday lives. It wasn't until Trayvon Martin was shot in 2012 by a neighborhood vigilante that my eyes were opened, big time. We now know all about the numerous horrendous tragedies at the hands of law enforcement and others which followed one right after another, brought to our attention at last by social media. But I felt paralyzed. What could I do? Who was I to even get involved? I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to do. It would appear that I was trying to help merely to make myself feel better, to ease my guilt about white privilege. And at that point, I saw my very real friendships through a new lens. My friendships have always been in the context of white majority culture. They have occurred in settings which were part of my comfort zone, but not necessarily theirs. And that made me feel even worse. After joining the reading group at church 2 years ago, I began to participate in educational events here at church and throughout the community. I've met a wonderful, diverse group of people. I've learned a lot. I've realized so much. I've felt so much. I've done some stuff. I'm not much of a protester, like others I know, but I've participated in a number of actions. And having come so far, I realize that there's still so much more to learn. And I'm still afraid of saying and doing the wrong thing. And I'm still afraid of getting arrested. So, the messages of both Ben Willis here in Columbus, and even more importantly, of the Reverend William Barber in his book, The Third Reconstruction, and in his impassioned speeches, have inspired me and made me feel I do have a place in this work. Barber does not acknowledge the "who am I to get involved" attitude. He assures us that we all are needed to work together to improve the lives of all of us, especially the least of us.